You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Good morning. It's great to be back with you. My annual trip, kind of like your doctor's appointment, whether you need it or not. I'm here. All right. Last time I was here, all the leadership was gone, so I think they thought, this is a good chance to get out of here. Kevin's coming, all right. But it's fun to have certain churches that you kind of visit on an ongoing basis and be a part of the journey. I'm not taking responsibility for things, because you may be all in different places on this journey of where we're at as a church, and so I'll blame Dan for that. All right. But it's amazing to be, because last time I was here, you were in the other building still. You'd sold the building, but you're still there, kind of in the transition process. And to be here in this place this morning is sometimes when you guys are kind of going through the journey, and so you see it every week. And so I get to see kind of in little spots and see how God is using and what God is up to. I wanted to say, you know, as you have friends, like Pastor Dan has been for me for a long time, there are certain things that either you just don't say to friends or you don't highlight a lot because it's not helpful. I say that because I travel around to a lot of churches, see a lot of things, and so sometimes you can pick up on things about a church just very quickly that because I see so many and I see different things each week. And so being a part of this church and this journey, I saw certain things about what was going on. And one of the things that I saw that I never really highlighted, I may have mentioned to Pastor Dan, but I didn't highlight, but I saw on an ongoing basis that one of your biggest challenges was your church building. But you know, you sit down with Pastor Dan, you know, for a burrito or whatever. There's no point in telling him that because at that point there wasn't anything to do about it. And so it's exciting to see you take that step of faith, and now you're sitting in this place to take that, to start on this journey and see where God's going to take you. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Let me just give you a couple of quick updates on the ministry. Pastor Dan already kind of told you we're a prayer ministry, if you don't know that. But a couple of things that happened since we were here last time. Last fall, I was added to America's National Prayer Committee, which if you're not familiar with that group, it's a group that helped found the National Day of Prayer. So if you ever heard of the National Day of Prayer, they worked with Ronald Reagan to help put that together, and so they added me to that committee, and so that's been an exciting journey to be a part of that. Since January, I've been writing for Charisma Magazine online, which is a cool opportunity to see there. That's a Pentecostal magazine that's around the world. And so that's kind of expanding the territory. And as a result of that, let me just give you one prayer request as I get started here. If you guys are, you know, kind of family, just kind of what you can pray for us in our ministry. We're grateful you're also a monthly supporter of our ministry, and we're grateful for that. But one of the things that God is, as we're going national and we're expanding that and looking to be a trusted advisor to leaders and people trying to build prayer ministry, we kind of started this campaign to get state sponsors so they can kind of go to whatever state, no matter the size, come alongside leaders and things like that. And I kind of have a prayer request for myself that by the end of the year we'd add 8 more states. And that's $50 a month for a full state, $25 for half a state. Now, this is not a fundraising thing. This is a prayer request. So relax. But just would you pray with me that kind of the people would lay on their heart to what to come alongside of us and help that, because the multiplying effect of where God, I believe God's taking us as a ministry, has a profound, that those state sponsors can make that happen. So just if you remember us, pray for that as well. One other thing before I jump into my message, I kind of have to, you know, re-remind you of why I wear this outfit, because this is now kind of my uniform. This is where I preach in almost every Sunday. It may be a different superhero, depending on the week. Hey, look, see, that's it's my Facebook profile. See, it's just, this is my thing, you know, and I've thought about, you know, God has people wear certain things or not wear certain things in the Bible, and I'm glad that this is what I get to wear. So, and if you need, you can read that in Isaiah. But anyways, there's the reason for this, a few. One, I travel, you know, quite distant sometimes, so it's always nice when I get into my car, I just take off my suit coat, and I'm in jeans and a t-shirt for the rest of the ride home. You know, I don't have to change on the... but the real reason is as I travel around, see people who hear the subject of prayer, and they're just intimidated by prayer, because they hear people pray, they hear, you know, that, you know, seems so impressive and things like that. And one of my life messages is prayer is not just for super Christians. It's for all of us. We all get to go in and be with him and enjoy his company and spend time with him. And so that's why I wear this. And also, you know, then I can relax this afternoon without having to go through that. It's nice to be close to home. I get to, I even get to, you know, have lunch with my wife and daughter, things like that. And so this is, it's great to be here. As I go to my message, actually, let's pray one more time. Jesus, help us to be awake to what you're saying to each of us individually in this moment. Lord, it's easy to come into a place like this and kind of go through the motions. I pray that you would awaken our heart to the reality that you speak today and you desire to speak to each of us if we would listen. So speak now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was preparing for this morning, it was kind of a weird deal. The start of it happened when I came to that prayer service you had in here that prayer night, and I was kind of sitting over there, and God said, "This is what you're going to talk about." And I'm like, "Okay." Now, I know you guys don't argue with God, but I'm the traveling guy. And one of the things about the traveling guys, we get this reputation of, you know, one, we only have one message to preach, you know, and we never had an intelligent thought beyond, you know, the simple, you know, simple things in life. And so I struggled with what God laid on my heart because, one, it's not going to be... You've heard this before, all right? What I'm about to tell you, I dare say 90% of the room has heard this before. And it's the danger is I'm concerned you're all going to check out even when I tell you what my passage is. You'll be like, oh, man, this guy. And the other part of it, it's something that has been stirring around in my heart for a while. So if you... you know, followed me on Facebook or anything, although I don't normally put my text out there. This is something that's been stirring in me for a while, although I believe what I have to say this morning is very specific for where you're at and what you guys are going through. So, having said all that, we're going to do it anyway. So, here we go. If you have your Bibles, it's Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV chapter 12. Verses 22 through 33. And while you're turning there, let me ask you, how many of you have ever heard the story of Peter walking on water? All right. How many have not heard the story of Peter walking? Okay. All right. Thanks, Brenna. Let me tell you a story, Brenna. All right. The story starts, I'll read it and we'll go from there. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Side note there, Jesus thought it was important to get off by himself to pray. So I mean, maybe the rest of us can learn something from him. But when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves. For the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, again, you've heard this story before, but I want you to come at it again as if you were part of the crew. All right, you were part of the people that were experiencing this, and think about it from the disciples' perspective. They had just experienced this amazing miracle. This miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. Again, a very famous story. Five loaves, two fish, you know, you get out the flannel graph. I mean, you could do the story for me. And I mean, because it's this familiar story. And if you read John's telling of it, they wanted to make Jesus king. That was the crowd's plan. Because they were so impressed. I mean, this is kind of cool. We get food. We come to these events and, you know, miracle food. This is sounds like a plan for me. And so Jesus, knowing it wasn't God's plan, dismissed them all and sends his disciples in a boat and goes up to pray. Now these guys get in the boat and begin to journey out that night. Now that we got some fishermen there, right? And they were familiar with spending nights in boats. They were comfortable with the process. But Matthew's telling this story, and, you know, we don't know how comfortable he was with the whole idea. He's this tax collector, you know, and he's got this whole deal, and he's probably in the back of the boat puking or whatever, and trying to get across to the other side. And as they go along, it says the wind was against them. And I was kind of not important to the story, but last night I was reading, I'm trying to learn Spanish, and that's definitely, there's a whole message to that. But why I'm learning, he knows because I've told him. But anyway, and so I read it in Spanish last night, and the word there is about contrary. The wind was contrary to them. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus told them to do this, and all of a sudden the wind's contrary to them? Have you ever done something for Jesus, tried to walk in a direction you feel he's told you to go, and the wind is against you? Maybe we need to look at our lives a little bit with a broader stroke and say, maybe just because the wind's against you doesn't mean Jesus hasn't told you to go there anyways. You simply be obedient to where he's told you to go. Because there may be a miracle that's about to happen. That if you continue to walk in obedience to that, there's a miracle just around the corner. Amen. And so they're in this boat, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. I mean, that's such a famous thing. I mean, you hear people talking about, I mean, even people who don't have faith are going to, you know, he walks on water. You know, that's an expression that's become a part of our world. You know, my wife says that to me all the time about me walking. Right, you know that's not true. But anyways, it's Jesus comes walking on the water. And so we heard that before, and so we check out here. But when was the last time you saw someone walking on the water towards you when you were in a boat? And how did you react when that happened? Okay, it hasn't happened, right? I mean, You would freak out. I mean, really, let's get in the story here for a second. You would freak out if someone, that they said it was a ghost is really not that, you know, unrealistic. If I saw something like that, I don't know how I would have reacted either. But they see this figure coming towards them, and it's Jesus. So he says, you know, calm down, guys, it's me. And I watched some YouTube videos of this, and there's some, yeah, that's how I prepare for messages. No, I'm the traveling guy. I don't have to have any content. Just watch some videos, you know? But anyways, I'm watching, and there's such crazy different ways people portray this whole event. And because sometimes it's just like, you know, this majestic little moment where, you know, Jesus is standing there and calls Peter to come. Now, there's a storm going on. They're, you know, freaking out at this point. You know, maybe they're calming down a little. They're trying to process this whole information as he comes close to them. And Peter does something at that moment. He says, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. And I thought about that. He saw something. As a fisherman, he'd never seen that before. And he saw it and he said, you know, I'd like to get in on that action. You know, I don't know how many times in my life I'm going to get to walk on water. And he says, if it's you, Lord, call me to come. And I was thinking about this, and I got three questions because I'm trying to keep it sort of like a sermon. But it was the first question is, are you asking Jesus to let you in on what he's doing? Are you asking Jesus to let you in on what he's doing? Because, you know, a lot of you have already gotten to the end of my message because you know how this goes, you know. And so you're thinking about Peter sinking and you're thinking about, you know. Hang on a second. Imagine for a moment that, you know, years later, they all get together, the disciples, for a little get-together. You know, I'm sure they had burritos. You know, they're sitting around having burritos together and swapping stories about, you know, the times when Jesus is with them. And I imagine, now this really didn't happen, but I imagine Peter saying something like, you know, remember that time that I got out of the boat and walked on water and the rest of you stayed in the boat? I'm the one who walked on. You guys had that opportunity. Because think about it. They could have said, if that's you, can I, you know, even as Peter jumped out, they could have said, you know, let me in on that. How much do we miss of the adventure of following Jesus? Because we don't even ask. Say, I want to get in what you're doing. I don't want to just be on the sidelines, and yes, I'll still be your disciple, but there's fun stuff to be had as we get out of the boat, even if it's coming across the states from Ohio, you know? I mean, there's stuff to be had as we begin an adventure with Jesus, but it starts with a simple thing saying, if that's you, let me get involved in it. Can I be a part of that process? And yes, Peter gets out and he begins to walk. And he begins to walk and looks at the storms around and begins to sink. And he calls out to Jesus, Lord, save me. I like that because that's a simple prayer. You know, when it comes to this grand scheme of prayers, you know, even the ones in the Bible, that was a simple prayer. But it was effective, right? It accomplished what it needed to. And sometimes, again, people are intimidated. I've prayed with this man. All right, so when you have a pastor like this guy, I can understand it being intimidating. Because this guy knows how to pray. Not in a bad sense. It's a good thing. But we can get that, oh, I can't pray like Pastor Dan, so why even bother? And you've been lied to at that why even bother moment. Because whether you simply say, Lord, save me, I'm about to sink here, he can answer you. He can answer you in that moment if you... Now, I've been doing a little challenge to myself that for the next few weeks, there's a prayer that you can trace back 1,500 years called the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is just very simple. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And if you were to look at my phone, whenever I turn it on, it's right there. I wrote it on a piece of paper, took a picture, because I'm not cool enough to figure it out yet. How I could do that, Grace will help me later. But so whenever I turn it on, I just pray that little prayer to heaven. And it's been amazing. I've been doing this since the 25th of August. Even that simple exercise, that simple phrase, draws me back into the presence of God as I go about my day, as I'm looking at my phone for whatever reason. Jesus invites us to an adventure with him, and it's sometimes simple conversation. It's simple conversation that we get to enjoy his company. Now, this next one, this is the heart. If you, as a church, this is the point. I'm going to have a third point, and that's important too. But this one, for the church's sake, this you got to catch. You got to catch this one. Because I was thinking about Jesus as he says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" I thought that was a strange... I mean, I've been raised in church all my life. I've heard the story 100 times too. But that's kind of a strange thing that he says to Peter. "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And the more I thought about it, the more I meditated on it, he was calling Peter to live by faith outside of the boat. And there are challenges of Jesus reserved for those who live outside the boat. And he was saying, now that you're out of the boat, you're committed to a life of faith. Now that you've gotten out of the boat and you're on this adventure, don't go back to trying figuring it out. Don't go back. Now, I'm not talking about not planning. One of my favorite life verses, probably because I need it so much. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. But this is not about planning. This is about a life of faith. And it's dangerous once you get out of the boat to try and figure it out. And why that's crucial for you as a church, at this moment, at this juncture, you've gotten out of the boat. You've taken a step of faith with this place and the adventure that you're on. You can't go back now. Now's the time to live by faith, to continue to live by faith. Continue to keep taking steps of faith, step by step at a time. And it can be scary. Yes, there's a storm going on around. But you're out of the boat. So keep walking. Keep going after him. Keep taking those risks. Because, I mean, think about it. He's walking. He's doing this walking thing. There is no logic there. You look down, oh yeah, let me take this step over here because that seems a little bit, that water's a little bit stronger, you know, than this water. No, he's out of the boat. So keep walking by faith. God's even challenging me like by this. He's, I'm on this journey of this ministry. And now, you know, 10 years in or whatever, it's, now's not the time to stop acting by faith. Now is not the time to say, okay, I've got it figured out. Let's just, you know, do this in a nice orderly way. And, you know, no, You keep taking those risks because now you're out of the boat. Now you're on an adventure with Jesus. What adventure does he have for you to keep stretching that faith? The third thing. So our first question is, are you asking Jesus to let you in on what he's doing? Two, now that you're out of the boat, have you stopped walking by faith? And three, well, I was talking to my daughter Samantha, and you know, I told her what I was going to, the story I was going to speak on. And you know, like I was going to tell her my first 2 points, and she decides to tell me what the real point of the story is. And I'm like, okay, fine. And so she says something to the extent of Peter lost his focus on Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He lost his focus on Jesus. And I've heard that before, you know. It's like, oh, I mean, every message, I mean, I didn't do this on YouTube, but I mean, if you go through 100 messages on YouTube, how many of them are going to say, you know, Peter lost his focus on Jesus? I'm like, I need to be clever, you know, I got to say something these people have never heard before, you know, they'll never invite me back, my slot will be gone, you know, it's like, And I kept meditating on it and thinking, and yeah, she's right. That's the point. It's too easy in life to lose our focus on Jesus. And the question is, have you lost your focus on Jesus? Have you lost, and again, it's not something you haven't heard, but it's so easy to do. It's not something that when we go through life, because tomorrow morning you got to get up and do whatever you got to do tomorrow, and that begins to get our focus, or the problem that we're dealing with begins to get our focus. It's not one of those things in life that are difficult to understand. It's just something you have to do. And you have to be reminded of it on a continual basis, because we easily lose our focus. That's what, I mean, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's where our focus needs to be. When we're walking on water, that is where our focus has to be, on Jesus. When you start a coffee shop to... You can't lose your focus on Jesus because you're out on the water and who knows what's going to happen. All of those questions and imagining doing life together as community and all the relaunch and all of that, or in your own personal life, you'd lose those things and they can get our focus, but Jesus is what it's about. Jesus is the heart. I mentioned I was... Now more times than I wanted to, but I mentioned about watching some videos while I was, and I had this on in the, I found this video. It was Bethel in California, the church there, their worship team. It said walking on water, and so I'm, okay, let's just play that while, because it's a music in the background while I'm preparing, and they just kind of went into this open worship time, and at one point, one of the ladies. Just began to sing the kids' song. Follow the leader, follow the leader. That's what we're called to do. Follow the leader. Have you lost focus on the main thing? Following the leader, where he goes, I'll follow. Follow all the way. The songs from our all the way back, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I mean, when you get out of the boat, fix your eyes on Jesus and go after it. Go after it. Where he leads. You start following Jesus, you're going to end up in some interesting places. It's not... because that's where he goes. He goes in interesting places. Are you committed again this morning to following Jesus? Jody Rusha, pastor in the his wife in the area here. I was cleaning. This is no joke. This week, I'm preparing for this message. You can tell a really good Christian, well, if they have a paper Bible, based on how much stuff they have in it, right? Because you just have it with you, and then you... This is, I heard this somewhere, or someone else, but it was, if you flip it upside down, stuff falls everywhere because they've had it with them, and they put this paper here or this Connect card or whatever. That's just... And so I use this as my personal Bible as well, and so I was cleaning it out this week, and there's a notes from... Jody Rusha's message, and it's on this passage, and I'm like, ooh, let's see what this has to say, because I need some content, remember, because I travel and I don't have any content. Anyway, here's what she said. She said, don't let distraction keep you from your destiny. And that's what Peter was struggling with. It's easy to get distracted by all sorts of things, whatever those things are for you. We come back to the simple thing of following Jesus. As I said up front, what I have to say is not something you haven't heard. But I believe it can be an encouragement to you as a church and you as individuals. Because I believe God's put you at this place for this time, this moment. And like I said, if there was a prophetic point to this message, the prophetic point is you've gotten out of the boat. You've gotten out of the boat. Don't lose your focus. Keep walking by faith. And that's good news, because you don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to follow. One miraculous step at a time. Every one of his steps were miraculous. What miraculous steps do you have as a church, each step ahead? In your life, what steps do you have that are going to be miraculous as you walk and you focus on Jesus? I'll repeat the three questions. Are you asking Jesus to let you in on what he's doing? There's all sorts of activity that Jesus is up to. What will you ask him? Will you dare? Are you daring enough to ask him this morning, I see you doing stuff, let me get involved in whatever that is and however that looks for me? What new steps of faith can you start taking this week? Number three, what storms of life have caused you to take your eyes off of Jesus? Can you focus back on him this morning? Lord, we commit this morning again to follow you. Wherever that takes us, wherever that leads us, we've decided to follow you. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. Help us to refocus in on you, what you mean and all that you're about, and get out of the boat and continue to walk. Thank you for the privilege of adventure, the privilege of discovery of what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.